We like putting you on the spot. Keeps you on your toes. And I'll put you on the spot too. Grab a Bible or your phone and open with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. And as you turn there, do you thank God? Now think about that. Do you thank God more than just at mealtimes? Do you pray to God? Do you thank God in more ways than just one? You should. We're going to see in today's psalm that there are many reasons and many ways for you to thank the Lord. And here, the Spirit of God is going to help all of us with thanking God by means of His words recorded in Psalm 105. Our text for this morning is Psalm 105. It's a long one, so we're not going to read the whole thing. The title of the message this morning is Thank God for the AC, not the air conditioning, but Thank God for the Abrahamic Covenant, which, as you will see this morning, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Psalm 105, I'm going to read verses 1 to 15, and then the ending in verses 42 to 45. Take a look. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's the opening call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all of His wondrous works. Glory or boast in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth, O seed of Abraham, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. From 7 to the end is why. Why should you? And the focus is the Abrahamic covenant. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. Actually, I'm going to stop there. From 13 all the way down to 41, you have a record of about 500 years of Israel's history, all of it showing how God blessed His chosen people, the seed of Abraham. And verse 42, why? For He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant. He brought out His people with joy, His chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with a bit of context. And there's not a lot here. There's no inscription to Psalm 105. But who wrote this psalm? If you guess David, you would be correct. David wrote it, and you might say, well, how would we know that? Because the first 15 verses are one of the first psalms that David ever wrote. The first 15 verses are recorded verbatim in 1 Chronicles 16, and that was a psalm that David wrote when the Ark of the Covenant was brought up to Jerusalem. Remember that? When David danced before the Lord with all his might, end of 1 Chronicles 15. So this psalm was a psalm that King David wrote probably sometime after that. And what's it about? Well, the first verses are a call to worship. Verses 1 to 6. They are a call to worship. And verses 7 to the end are the reason for it. And the reason for it is the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. Something that God has never forgotten. Something you should never forget. But listen, this was not just David writing to believers back in David's day. And it wasn't just those who lived in David's day who should thank God for the Abrahamic covenant. This is the living word of the living God. And through Psalm 105 today, and even this morning, the Spirit of God exhorts you to thank God for His eternal covenant. And in our brief time this morning, I want to show you why and tell you how. That's it. 2 points, Pastor Dan. We have an ongoing joke. You know what? I've been converted, Pastor Dan. I've come around. I don't like 12-point sermons either. So this morning, 2 points. Why should you thank God for the Abrahamic covenant, and how should you express your gratitude to God? Because really, worship is expression in response. That's what it is at root. Worship is expression in response. You should express your gratitude to God for the Abrahamic covenant. I want you to see why, and I'll tell you how. Why? And there's really one main reason. It is because the Abrahamic covenant is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take a look. Verse 7 says, He's the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever. Which one? Keep reading. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. Which one? The covenant or the word which He made with Abraham, and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, and to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, To you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Now listen closely, listen carefully. I'm going to cover for you thousands of years, in a few minutes, oh good, thousands of years of history in just a few minutes. For many of you, this will not be a problem because you know your Bibles well. And if that's not you, then you're going to know your Bible better. So it's good either way. Listen closely. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, Genesis 1 and 2, He created it very good. Then sin entered in, Genesis 3. And sin spread to all men because all had sinned, and death came into this world. Genesis 3, 4, 5, 6. Sin became so bad that God looked down from heaven and He said, He saw all the wickedness on the face of the earth, and He saw that every intent of the thought of men's hearts was only evil continually. And therefore God brought a judgment into this world. Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9. He made a covenant with Noah that He wouldn't flood the earth again. He told people to multiply and fill the earth. Man revolted, Genesis 11, 10 and 11. Tower of Babel said, we're not going to spread throughout the earth. We're going to build a tower that reaches to the heavens, and we are going to make a name for ourselves. The continuing sin of the day. Make a name for yourself. God brought another judgment, confused the languages, but then God, in His grace, chose an idolater out of Ur of the Chaldees named Abram and made a covenant with him that continues to this day. A covenant of a land where God would gather Abraham and his descendants together. Land and seed, that is, descendants, a people with whom Abraham would be gathered, and the seed in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Land, seed, and what's the last one? Blessing. Way to go. Blessing, I will bless you, which means I am going to bless you with abundant blessings. Land, seed, and blessing. Do you think God had in mind a little piece of land and a couple descendants, and a temporal blessing? God did not. The land would be from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt, or from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Seed, He would multiply as the stars in heaven and as the sand on the seashore. And that gathering of God's people in His presence would not be temporal. It would be eternal. An eternal God offering eternal blessings. Did Abraham believe it? Yes or no? Yes. Abraham believed God, and God accounted that to him for righteousness, the gospel, justification by faith. Did Abraham see the fulfillment of all the Abrahamic covenant? He did not. Read Hebrews 11. He died in hope. Okay, well, God repeated the covenant to Abraham's son Isaac. And then God repeated the covenant to Isaac's son Jacob. And then God repeated the covenant to all Israel. Fast forward to David's day, when David wrote Psalm 105. Was the Abrahamic covenant still operational? Absolutely. And what David does in this psalm is he gives the history from Genesis 12 to Joshua 12. Starting in verse 8, he remembers his covenant forever. That's Genesis 12, referring to the Abrahamic covenant. Going down through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, down in verse 17. Then Moses and Aaron, going through the 10 plagues. Then Israel's deliverance out of Egypt when they plundered the Egyptians, verse 37. And then when they finally came into the land, verse 44, he gave them the lands of the Gentiles. They inherited the labor of the nations. David shows 500 years of God's faithfulness. That's what the psalm is. 500 years of God's faithfulness to one promise. The promise he made to Abraham. God made the covenant with Abraham, verse 9, repeated it to Isaac, verse 9b, then to Jacob, verses 10 to 12, sent Joseph in Egypt, verses 16 to 25, sent Moses and Aaron to deliver them out, verse 26, sent the plagues 27 to 36, brought Israel out 37, all of it to show one thing, verse 8, God remembers this covenant forever. God remembers this covenant forever. Verse 42, God remembered his holy promise to Abraham, his seed. And what David is showing is that the covenant God made with Abraham explains all the blessings that Israel enjoyed throughout that time. Protection and provision, salvation and satisfaction. Fast forward to Luke chapter 1. You don't have to go there. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read it. Fast forward to Luke chapter 1. Believers were waiting to see the fulfillment of the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant. Why? Because then God made a covenant with David, built on the covenant with Abraham, saying that that land would be a kingdom ruled by a king who would be the seed of David, and that king would reign in righteousness over God's people. Not an entirely different covenant. You have the Abrahamic covenant, which serves as the basis, then the Davidic, which comes in 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 17, Luke 1. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, it was revealed to him that his son would be the forerunner of the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. And Zacharias prophesied this: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, just as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, so that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy that was promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, in order to grant us that we, after being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." You come all the way up to the time of Jesus Christ, the Abrahamic covenant is still operational. Why? Because it has still not been fulfilled, but the seed of Abraham is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Fast forward to the days of the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Surely the Abrahamic covenant has been forgotten by now, hasn't it? Surely it's just all spiritual. Ha! Hardly. The Apostle Paul, as he went about preaching the gospel to Gentiles, referred them back to the Abrahamic covenant. And he says to the Galatians, fast forward to Galatians, you don't have to go there, but I'll turn there. He says, and he had already taught the Galatians this when he traveled through there, "And just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know therefore, only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify even the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Goes on to point out, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What promise? Land, seed, and blessing. Same promise. A place where God's people would be gathered together in His presence. Seed, together with all the people who have ever believed, and blessing upon blessing. Now listen. Fast forward to Hebrews 11. You don't have to go there. I told you I was going to cover thousands of years. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 tells you all the Old Testament saints, all of them, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen it afar off. They were assured of them. They embraced the promise. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they are seeking a homeland. Reference to the Abrahamic covenant. They desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. The writer of Hebrews keeps pointing us to the future fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. He says at the end of Hebrews 11, all these, all the Old Testament saints, obtained a good testimony through faith. They did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. What is it? Chapter 12, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. You have need of endurance to endure until the coming kingdom. What is Psalm 105? Psalm 105 says, thank God for the Abrahamic covenant. Psalm 105, turn back there, says, thank God that God in His grace chose a sinner, made a forever promise with Him, and then sovereignly ordained all the events of human history to make sure that that promise would one day come to pass. Guess what? That covenant is the gospel. That covenant is eternal. And that covenant is operational. To this day, God is promising eternal blessing to all who believe in the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Why thank God for the Abrahamic covenant? Because it is the gospel. God in His grace chose an ungodly idolater out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave a promise of salvation through by grace, through faith. Abraham believed, was declared forever righteous, and to this day, how can any sinner be righteous in the sight of God? By faith. By faith in the glorious promises of God. And Paul goes on to say, and you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, heirs of the promise. Thank God for the Abrahamic covenant. Thank God for JC, Jesus Christ. Thank God for the gospel. How do you do that? Now look at the beginning of Psalm 105. How? How should we express our gratitude to God for saving sinners? How should we express our gratitude to God for giving us an eternal hope, an inheritance that never fades? Here's how. There are 12 commands in Psalm 105. I guess one for every tribe of Israel. We're not going to go through all of them. But there are 12 commands showing you how to express gratitude to God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will tell you this. They add up to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what they add up to. Here they are. First one, verse 1. Oh, see why the O is there? Oh, God is so good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's the first way. You actually say thank you, God. Not just at mealtimes. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You should thank God for the gospel. How? By thanking him in your trials, by thanking him for your house, your life, your breath. I look at a couple bearded guys. For your beard, I guess. Or for a wife who says, shave that off, honey. Thank God for everything. In everything, give thanks. Thank God if your team wins. Thank God if your team loses. Thank God if you don't have any trials. Thank God if you have trials. Because all the trials are purposeful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's the first way for you to thank God for the gospel. Learn to give God thanks in everything. Second, call upon his name. Chapter 105:1b. Call upon his name. What does that mean? It's like pray without ceasing. 1 Thess 5:16. Keep calling upon God to do according to his name. Keep calling upon God to carry out his will. Pray. God says, call on me in your day of trouble. I'll answer you, and you'll glorify me, Psalm 50, verse 15. This is one of the ways to express your gratitude to God for the gospel. Give God thanks and pray. Let your request be made known. Third, what's the third way? Verse 1, make known his deeds among the peoples. You ever talk about God? Do you ever say, praise God, thank God? I mean, do you ever talk to other people about God's grace and his kindness and mercy to you, about your health, or even lack thereof? You know, praise God. This morning, Beth, I look at you, Beth, somebody said, well, praise God, at least Roger's hip, I guess, isn't broken. But he's got a lot of pain. But it could be worse. And Roger's told me this, so I don't mind telling you. He's told all of us this. He's ready to go, right? Sometimes he's, like, really ready, like, wants to go. But praise God, he hasn't gone yet. Make known his deeds among the people. Oh, God took care of us, took care of our insurance needs, took care of our son, Dan. Stay in the VA is what we heard. Good news, right? That's what this is saying. Make known his deeds among the peoples, which is why every time I start Sunday school, I say, words of praise, words of testimony. I'm giving you a chance to fulfill, to obey the command in 105. Do you do that? How should we thank God for the gospel? Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. By the way, that's the purpose for which he made you, the seed of Abraham. You're a chosen people to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Proclaiming is verbal, mouthing. How about the next one? Sing. Two of them there, verse 2. Sing to him. You ever sing to God? You ever sing to God just by yourself? You know, I enjoy riding a dirt bike. I still do that. I know it's coming to an end, but I still enjoy riding a dirt bike. And one of the guys said, we need intercoms. I go, you don't want an intercom on me? I sing while I'm riding. I sing great is thy faithfulness while I'm riding. I look at the beauty of God's creation and I say, this is my Father's world. And you don't want to hear that. Trust me. Do you ever sing to God? How about sing psalms to him? And Pastor Dan and Caleb and others, those who play instruments and those who help lead worship, they help us with that. We sing songs to God. We gather. This is a call to worship and thank God for the gospel. Why? Because, oh, is he worthy. And this is how we do it. Give thanks, call upon his name, make known his deeds, sing. How about talk of all his wondrous works? Do you ever have fellowship? Raise your hand if you have fellowship with other believers. Small group, Tuesday night Bible study, hanging out, going out for coffee, having a meal, going to each other's houses. Fellowship, while you're fellowshipping, do you ever talk about his wondrous works? This is talking about with each other. This is Acts 2:42. The early saints were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, breaking bread and fellowship. This is a way to express your gratitude to God for the fact that thousands of years ago, he made a promise to his servant Abraham, Abram, of course, and then he believed God. God accounted that to him for righteousness. He repeated that covenant to Isaac and Jacob and Israel. David showed in his day that is still operational. It explains God's protection, his provision, our salvation, our satisfaction, and it points us to the future. I gave you six ways to thank God. The other six are for homework. Let me show you one more thing. In every case, the emphasis is on him. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, not to someone else. Call upon his name, not the name of some other god, not the name of some false god. Make known his deeds among the people, not your own. Make known the deeds of God. Talk about God's wondrous works. Glory in God's holy name, that is, rejoice in all of his holy attributes. And here's an interesting one, verse 3. Let the hearts of others rejoice who seek the Lord. Like, don't be an impediment to others who want to rejoice in God. Don't be a stumbling block. Don't be one who's sinning against the brethren. Love edifies. Love does no harm. Don't do harm to others. Build others up. Let them rejoice too. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works, which we do this morning. We remember this morning the most marvelous of them all as we partake of communion. What is this? This is a call to worship in response to the gospel. Thank God for the AC, the Abrahamic covenant. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who is the seed of Abraham and in whom you are an heir. So here's the final question. By the way, the psalm ends, praise the Lord. That's the 12th command. Praise the Lord. So the question is, do you? Do you thank God? Do you make known his wonderful deeds? Do you talk of his wondrous works? Are you a seed of Abraham? Are you an heir of the promises of God? If you are Christ's, Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, then you are the seed of Abraham. And you are heirs according to the promise of what? Of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, for which we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That is a request. We're not in it now. I often think the land of milk and honey, Super Bowl 50, and Bad Bunny. No, this is not. Sorry. I rhyme stuff. I don't know why. This is not the kingdom. Southside Pueblo is not the promised land. There is coming a day when Jesus Christ will come again and establish his kingdom on the earth, and we will see that God has kept his covenant with Abraham all the way to the end, and we, like all the Old Testament saints, should be looking forward in faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Psalm 105. Thank you for the history of the world that is a history of your faithfulness to your holy word, which is a promise to save sinners, to gather them together in your presence, that we might be set free from our enemies and rejoice with one another forevermore. We look forward to that day coming, and until then, may we give you thanks in every possible way. In Jesus' name, amen.